There are no 50-year-olds playing pro football. No 40-year-olds playing pro basketball. And you know why? A man's body changes over time, and not for the better. But listen up, there's one change a man can reverse: his ED. Hi, I'm Chris, founder and CEO of Sempra Medical Group. At Sempra, we use an amazing technology called acoustic wave therapy to restore full function to many men ages ranging in their 30s to well into their 90s. But I'm not just the founder, I'm a customer too. I invested in acoustic wave therapy to solve my own ED, and it worked. It works, period. No hype, just the truth, guaranteed or money back. Stop wishing, stop waiting, and do something about it at Sempra Medical. Let's talk this over man to man. Call us today, 612-263-8515. That's 612-263-8515. Call now, 612-263-8515.
It is now 9:08 here at WCCO. Welcome to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment, we just believe you ought to know about it. I got a lot of shows to tell you all about, but right now I have my friend in studio, and I am so excited to see him. Every time he walks in, I just light up. His name is Philip Brunel. You know him. You love him just as much as we do here at WCCO. And why is he here? Well, Vocal Essence is in the midst of their 50th anniversary celebration. Now, we've talked about this. We've had him on to talk about all the shows that they've been doing, which have been great successes. And already, they've scheduled a whole year of shows to celebrate number 51. Can you believe it? So Vocal Essence founder Philip Brunel is in studio joining me. How are you, sir?
My dear, I am just fine, and it's always wonderful to be with you.
You are a locomotion, honey. You are a locomotive. You are a train that just keeps going. I don't know if do you sleep?
Well, sometimes. You know, I mean, one needs to do it a bit.
Already, you know, already. You're in the 50th anniversary, and you already have your 51st done.
And pretty much the 52nd.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just getting it arranged. Now, before we talk about this, though, I got to tell you. So I just came back yesterday from Kansas City. It was the annual convention of the American Choral Directors. And while I was there, you know, you see people, you know, and then this guy comes up to me and says, I have to just tell you, you some years ago did a CD, he said, that had the song I play all the time. He said, it's this song that's got the St. Louis Blues, and this woman named Geraldine Steele was singing. I said, oh, you mean the woman I'm going to be with on Sunday night? And he just could not stop carrying on about when we did that CD, which must be 10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years ago,
yeah.
Easily. Can I tell you that I played that for my granddaughter?
Really?
Yeah, last year she was saying, you know, what else have you sung on, Grandma? Yeah. And I said, let me play this for you. And she loved it.
Absolutely.
Just loved it. So you just never know.
No, it's true. No,
well,
it was great.
Thank you for sharing
that. Oh, absolutely. I just want you to know the name Geraldine, it's out there.
It's out
even
there.
Even in Kansas City.
You know you're doing something
yeah.
in Kansas City.
See, Jalen, we people in Kansas City know what talent is.
Born and raised.
Oh.
We know what talent is.
Well, you know, I had not been in Kansas City for probably about 30 years because I was there to conduct Kansas City Opera, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a different city.
Yeah,
yeah, I love the way it looks and that Starlight, whatever amphitheater they have. And anyway, it's a really cool city.
It's wonderful.
Okay, let's jump right in and talk about what Vocal Essence is doing. First of all, you have made a remarkable mark on the choral communities across the globe, right? You've done so much in your work. What has been the one thing that you have not been able to do just yet?
Oh, there's a lot of things I haven't been able to do yet. I mean, I have a list of pieces that I would like to do, of people I would like to invite. See, in my role, in my world, if I could, we could have a concert every night of the year.
Every night of the
year? I'm not sure that I'd have an audience for every night of the year.
I don't think you'd have a family. I think they could walk out.
Well, there is that little thing, too. But I tell you, there is just so much great music. Music from the past, music from the present, music that hasn't been composed yet. So I'm just always excited about the whole world of choral music because the thing that we have as our motto at Vocal Essence is, together we sing. And that's, to me, you know, where it's at. Whether someone is a great singer, you know, and says, oh, I don't really know that I could even be in an audience sing. Of course they can. Everyone can be in an audience sing. And then, of course, some people sing better than others. And they are people who end up in places like the Vocal Lessons Ensemble Singers and the Vocal Lessons Chorus. And now with our new youth choir, SOTA.
Which is awesome.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so with all of those things, there's just so much music that I'm just, I'm never at a loss. I guess what I keep encouraging people in the choral field is be creative. Think outside the box, because otherwise you sort of do the same 8 or 10 pieces over and over.
So
wonderful
true.
As they are, but why not be looking, you know, in a larger place? And that's kind of like this year we just finished Witness and we had the Spelman women here.
Oh, my
you know,
goodness.
I mean, it was people were just like, wow, we didn't know about them. Well, you know, and down in Kansas City, I heard an amazing choir called the Aeolians. They are from Huntsville, Alabama. It's from a college that's an all-black college down there. Oh, my word. Well, the day will come that you will hear the Aeolians on Witness, I can tell you. They were amazing.
Out of all of the acts that you or the artists that you have put before us here in the great state of Minnesota, you've also brought so many in from other countries even to perform. How is that incorporated into what the mission of Vocal Lessons is?
Well, I think our mission is really to say and to perform as wide a range of music as we can. So we're always looking, you know, what is something that is unique that perhaps people living here who maybe aren't able to travel to, say, Korea or able to travel to Mexico, and we've been able to bring some of these great groups to our state and to our city. And that's part of, you know, I think the mission of Vocal Lessons because, you know, now we start year 51, well, in the fall, but we've just got, oh, there's so much more we can do.
Year 51 around the corner, it feels like, right?
So
you've already booked that. What can we expect that is so different from what the 50th celebration has been?
Well, in the first concert, we're going to be in a space. I love to experiment places that we haven't been. So in October, the Ensemble Singers are going to be in a space called the Summit Center. It's a church that was, I guess they call it desanctified when it's no longer a church, over on Summit and Snelling. And it's this gorgeous acoustic, a wonderful church. The St. Paul Conservatory of Music has taken over the building next to it. And so we're going to do the opening concert there, exploring a bit the kind of sounds you can make in a very beautiful space. They took all the pews out. So you can just put chairs however you want in this space. And we look forward to it, to being in a space like that. Of course, before that happens, we're going to make our first experience this April in the Palace Theater over in St.
Paul. Oh, my goodness, the newly renovated Palace Theater.
Yes, which I remember 2 years ago when I walked in it and it was still in its tidying upstage.
Yeah.
But I said, oh, yes. And that's where we're going to do a big Bob Dylan concert at the end of April.
Are you going to do any of his gospel music from his gospel album?
We're going to do just, I think, 15 of the old familiar ones that he did. But we're also going to do on the program, I want to do a kind of a Minnesota salute on that. So we're going to do a couple other things. Jocelyn Hagen has written a beautiful piece we're going to do. Jeremy Messersmith is going to do a piece.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Carrie John Franklin. It's going to be a mixture of some classical and some popular composers. Mm-hmm. And then the second half is this great piece that was just composed last year. A guy got permission from Bob Dylan to make choral arrangements of all these important and wonderful songs. So we're going to do this 45-minute medley of Bob Dylan.
You have been stretching for 50 years, so this is not necessarily your grandmother's vocal essence, yet you still present the music that grandmothers will love and the new generations will love as well. Has that been a big challenge for you? Has it been a challenge to bring music forward that entertains and excites all of the generations that are living today?
Yes, because, you know, most human beings they're more comfortable with what they know. They're not really always wanting to spend time doing and listening to something they don't know. But part of what we have always said at Vocal Essence is expect the unexpected.
Yes.
And sometimes the unexpected might be some old piece by Mendelssohn that they never heard. They go, oh, well, I knew Mendelssohn wrote Elijah. I didn't know he had written this beautiful piece. So sometimes the unexpected is not that it's so, you know, overly modern. It's just that something they haven't heard before.
Mm-hmm. Candide is a part of your 50th anniversary,
right?
It
is.
And that's coming up.
It's coming up in about 3 weeks because,
wow.
You know, I've always wanted to do Candide because Bernstein's music, mm-hmm. as we know, mm-hmm. is so great. But I didn't want to do it until I could get Peter Rothstein to be the director.
Right, he's
Peter
wonderful.
Is just brilliant. And his mm-hmm. theater la-di-da, you know, I mean, all
doing
the things they
work.
Do.
Great
you know,
work.
Oh, wonderful. So I had talked to Peter, and we'd finally found that we could find a time to do it really in concert version. But then the question is, if you're doing it in concert, how can you make it special so you're not just sort of sitting in a chair and standing? So it's appropriate that I mention this on WCCO because we're going to do it as a radio show.
Are you really?
Yes. We're going to do it similar to when you were on Prairie Home all the time.
When we were on yeah, Prairie
when we were,
Home.
Well, me too. Yes, right. Yeah, yeah. So what we're going to do is it's going to be sort of as if it was a 1940s radio show.
How about
and
that?
So the chorus is there. There'll be the microphones. Everybody, you know, just in that kind of sense. Bradley Greenwald, of course, that wonderful Bradley.
Love him.
Will be Pangloss, and he'll be sort of the MC that brings the whole thing together. He, what he wrote me when I asked him about it, he said that the orchestra is the studio band, the chorus where is the studio chorus, and he said there's going to be lots of sound effects, whipping sails, baaing sheep, dead bodies thumping to the ground, and all the great music of Candide.
So oh, how lovely.
Be, yeah.
Now, this is happening on March 21st through the 24th,
right,
only
five
a few days at the Kohl Center, correct?
Right.
So if people want tickets, where do they go?
They would call 612-371-5656. And I would say by Friday, it'll be sold out.
All right, so get on it. You do not want to miss it. Give them that number one more time, please.
The number, 612-371-5656.
We love you here at CCO. It's good to see you, sir.
You, dear. It's great to be here. Thanks.
That is our own Philip Brunel. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Bobby Lyle in just a moment. I love this jam. I just want y'all to know. And by the way, when you turn 75 years old, don't you think you ought to have a celebration? I know I will if I am blessed enough to live that long. Well, that's what Bobby Lyle is doing this week. He is celebrating being 75. And he has a special celebration on Friday at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club in Fritley. If you haven't been there, you got to get going, honey, because they have so much music. It is so fabulous. The owner, Mary T., does a great job there. And this week, you're going to see him at Crooner's. And then a week from Monday, he has a cool event that will explore the impact of jazz on multiple musical idioms. So you don't want to miss it. It's including rock, R&B, and hip-hop in a special one-day clinic at North High School. Now, that date is his 75th birthday, actually. So you don't want to miss it. We're going to learn a lot more from Bobby Lyle. Bobby, what a pleasure to have you join me here on Center Stage.
Thank you so much, Geraldine, for having me. How are you doing here?
I am doing well. My goodness, sir, you are still doing it and still doing it with excellence. 75 years is nothing to sneeze at, is it?
I still can't believe it myself. I don't feel that age, and my
you don't
energy,
look that age.
Well, I appreciate that. My energy just keeps going, and I feel creative pretty much every day that I wake up, which is a blessing in itself. So, but I'm excited about coming back home to do these two nights of shows.
Yeah. You know, that song that we played, I believe it's called Spanked. Am I correct?
It's called Spankin', yes.
Spankin', there you go. Yeah, I love that cut. And it could just kind of shows your range. You do a little bit of everything. You really crisscross back and forth on a lot of your music. And so when you're presenting this concert at Crooner's Lounge, how do you decide what you're going to play because your body of work is so large?
Well, it's going to narrow down somewhat because the Friday night I'm doing solo piano. And I only have one solo piano album that I put out.
Right.
That's been quite a few years ago. But I will draw maybe a little from that and just a lot of the current stuff that I've been working on. I have a new project in the works that's hopefully going to really make a lot of noise once it gets out there. Mm-hmm. But the Saturday night, I'm doing the Hammond B3 trio. Mm-hmm. So
smoking.
Each night will be a completely different style of music.
Those different styles of music has really helped define you as a great. You don't have any problem venturing into something completely new. What's on the new horizon for you? I know this project is coming up, but are you looking at any other genre of music that you have not embarked upon?
Well, there's a couple of things I would like to do. I would like to, one day I'd like to do a gospel album.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do an album with a big band. And I'd like to do a Christmas album.
You've never done a Christmas album.
I have never done a Christmas album, and I think that's a shame on my part.
I agree.
People are always asking me about it, and I don't know. I get involved in all the other aspects of what I'm doing, and somehow it always gets pushed to the back burner. But once I finish this current project that I'm on, I will definitely address that.
You know, Bobby, I love a lot of your CD or your album covers. I think the covers are really unique and different. And it's a whole new time, a whole new way of us exploring how to sell music today. And I've asked this question to several musicians because it's not the way it used to be in the late 60s and 70s, right?
That's true. It's a whole different landscape now.
Yet you've survived it all. Your music is still selling. What was the turning point for you? When did you figure it out? Or do you feel like you have figured out a way to keep going and keep selling?
Well, I think the main thing is just to be true to yourself and who you are musically. My stuff started coming out around the time that people were really getting serious. A few people were really getting serious about blending the elements of jazz and R&B and, you know, making the beats a little more accessible to young people and all of that. So from that standpoint, there were only really a few of us playing like that back during that time.
Yeah.
And I know Ramsey Lewis came out with the In Crowd way back in the 60s when I was still in high school. And so he probably was the forerunner of all of it. But they started to call the music fusion. And then as it went along, the radio people were calling it Quiet Storm.
Oh, yeah.
And then it became smooth jazz. But I'm going to be honest with you. I hate labels.
Yeah, most of us do.
I hate labels. And the purpose of labeling stuff is, I guess it makes the marketing people's job a little easier. But because my music comes from so many different directions, I don't like to be categorized.
And that's going to be evident at North High School coming up here in a week because you're doing rock, R&B, and hip-hop and so much more. Tell us about this special day clinic at North High School.
Yes, that's actually going to happen on Friday morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know you had mentioned Monday, and Monday I'll be back in Houston. But they have set me up for Friday morning over at North High, and so hopefully I can pass along some nuggets of jazz and its inner workings and a little bit of its history, and maybe even get to do a little jam session with some of the music students.
Yeah, and then celebrate your birthday that day. 75 years, that's a really big milestone. And we are so grateful that you are still doing it with excellence and that you will be at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club in Fridley. Now, are there still tickets available for Crooner's?
Yes, there should be for both the Friday performance and the Saturday performance.
Okay.
And we're going to pray for really good weather, because I know you all have had your share of snow and cold and all that.
Yeah, but you've been here when it was, we really had bad weather, and people still came out to hear you, Bobby. So I don't think that's going to change. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and please pass along my best regards to your very talented family and siblings.
I sure will, sir. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Geraldine.
You're welcome. Okay, if you don't know who Bobby Lyle is, look him up, honey. He has played with everybody from Bette Midler and so many more. I mean, just huge. His body of work is huge. He's a huge figure. He's a musician's musician, and you don't want to miss this on Friday at Crooner's and Saturday at Crooner's, okay? Don't miss it. All right, it is now 9:31. We're going to pay some bills, and we'll be back in a moment. Yeah, I know your hips are swaying right now, just like mine are. It is 9:36. Let's make that 9:37. I am so excited about the guest that's in studio with me tonight. Her name is Carolyn Naomi, and her music is a tapestry of culture and music, which encompasses love and light through guitar, voice, and soul. She's Nigerian-born guitarist, and she just loves music, has been writing for a long time now, and she penned her first original composition at an early age. The guitar is her instrument of choice right now, and boy, is it her inspiration. It is so great to have you in studio
Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about that song we just heard.
No Be Me. Okay, so it's funny because when Ben is my manager and music producer.
That's Ben Obi of Savannah Street.
Yeah, Ben Obi of Savannah Street Music. We were at the studio recording another song, and we had just finished that song, and I made a joke and said something in Nigerian Pidgin English while I was in the booth, and then he was like, oh, wait, that can actually be a melody to something, and then just right there, we were joking and laughing about it and created a melody, and then I had to play a guitar part quickly so we didn't forget what we had in mind, and then he told me to go home and try to write something and come back. And I was blank for like the next 2 weeks. I didn't know what to write after that. And then finally he got on my case and he was like, Caroline, you have to be serious. You know, this is a good melody. We need to get something doing on this track. And I was like, okay. And it took me like 30 minutes in the studio to try to figure out something to write. And in that moment, I just wrote the first verse, second the chorus,
right,
everything
came,
right there.
Flowed.
Right there in the studio, yeah.
It does take time to really create the music, you know.
Yes.
Are you one of those that get up in the middle of the night, make sure that you have your phone there to record
it? Yes, my phone is always beside me. My guitar sleeps on the bed with me because
there's a relationship.
Right,
there
exactly.
You go.
So I have like three guitars. There's two of them on one corner, and then there's one on the bed just in case I have a inspiration or something, and
right.
I just pick it up and quickly record immediately.
Now, yeah. You've been in the States, what, for about 4 years?
Four and a half, yes.
4.5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Nigerian born and raised.
Yes.
What a difference between countries, right?
Huge difference. The weather, for one, is huge. I mean, the weather in Nigeria is kind of closer to what you have in Texas or California a little bit. But apart from that, I think the other difference would be in the culture as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
We also have like over 500 different languages in my country.
Yes, you do.
So it's like, it's called a nation of nations because you have all these different cultures and tribes all, you know, in one country. And so with that, you get to be sort of like a multilingual in a way because you can speak more than one language typically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And here you are here in the United States, and the music that you do, some would say that it's narrow and that it only appeals to Nigerians or others who know the music of your country. But it isn't.
Yeah.
It's expanding.
Yes.
I mean, you are growing in this country. Your music is growing.
Yes.
Tell us how that's going for you and how has that changed your style, if at all?
I think it has actually helped me maybe decide more to even do this style, because even when I speak with a lot of my friends who are Americans, they tell me that this is a market that has not been tapped, especially in Minnesota. And so if I were to be like a regular R&B artist only, then I would have so many people, so many R&B artists that I have to, you know, compete with or, you know, be on the same platform with. But with Afropop and R&B, that blend is not something that you find a lot in Minnesota. And then when you consider the fact that you have a lot of Africans too here in the Twin Cities, they definitely would appreciate music coming from someone who is like, I'm not a native, but because I live here and I'm based here, then that would make more sense as opposed to always having to bring in artists from Nigeria to fly them down here for concerts when you have people who can actually do it in here. So I think it's a benefit and it's an advantage for me to be able to do that style as well as R&B that I grew up listening to.
Right. And I'm sure you have so many influences, right?
Yes.
But here in America, have you been influenced by any artists in particular?
Oh, yes. I mean, even before I came here when I was in Nigeria, Whitney was huge.
Oh,
Mariah was huge. Mm-hmm. Boyz II Men was super huge.
And Five.
Yes, and Brian McKnight and Brandy. Yes. So when I was in church, I started singing in church at maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And I had friends who would tell me, you kind of have a Brandy feel. Do you know who she is? I was like, no, like, go listen to her. And I did. And yeah. And so those artists, the 90s R&B especially, has been like a huge influence.
I'm so glad that you said that, because there is that kind of feel to it, right? It's a really laid back kind of 90s feel.
Yes.
Is that where you're going to continue? Do you find that you've changed so drastically since you came here from Nigeria? Or would you say that this is just enhancing what you've already been doing?
It is enhancing. I don't think it has changed that much.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely trying to expand my songwriting style to not just being influenced by the guitar, because mostly every time I have to write music, it starts from the guitar and the melody that I'm able to create. But now I'm working with producers who have this amazing beats that they create and they just send it to me. And that challenges me to be able to write in a different style from what I would typically write.
You know, most writers, songwriters, really are influenced by their own personal lives.
Yes.
And so they write the songs from their own understanding.
Definitely.
Is that your story as
well? It is. Yes, it is.
That's a challenge because you're putting yourself out there, right?
I know.
You are completely transparent when you are
yes.
writing those stories from your perspective.
True.
Is there ever a time when you say, nope, that's off limits?
Yes, especially when it comes to like personal relationships, romantic relationship, and the disappointments that I face in that. I know a lot of people get inspiration writing from their personal hurt or pain.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's very sensitive, and I'm like, I'm not sure I want to even delve into it. I have songs that I've written that are heartbreak songs, but I rarely put them out. I usually just would want to be that artist who's not just talking about heart pain and heartbreak like every other person. I want to talk about other things in life because I feel like there's other things to talk about. You know, I want to be able to talk about my faith. I want to be able to talk about, you know, some of the struggles that I've experienced as a human on earth and how my personal faith has helped me overcome obstacles and challenges in life, you know.
Yeah.
And I just want to be able to inspire people with my music that way, because I know that it's not always roses in anyone's life. You know,
never.
There's ups and downs,
never.
And I want to be able to talk about the other ups and downs that are not necessarily about love every time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
At the same time, though, I encourage you to really let us see that piece of
that
you.
That part of me? Okay.
Because you're intriguing, you know? Immediately
yeah.
when I met you the first time, I wanted to know so much more about you.
Okay.
Not that I'm trying to get into your business, but as an artist,
yeah.
you know, who you are, where you've come from, all of that inspires your music and your whole image, right?
Yes,
you've got Beyoncé writing about her and her husband and all of their infidelities, right? Okay, come on.
Right.
I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
But there's someone who's listening to that going, oh, yeah, that's my story.
Definitely.
So maybe you'll come into that glory, right?
Eventually.
Maybe you'll come into that.
Yes.
So now this, you got a new project coming out on the 16th of this month,
16th,
I believe.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That song is, it's called Last. So basically what it means is It's a Nigerian expression that we say. When we say last, we go day all right. It means in the end, everything is going to be okay. In the end, all will be well. So in spite of all the troubles that you've been through, in the end, you know, things are going to work out fine for you. That's exactly what it means.
Hold on. Change is coming.
Exactly. That's it.
Can you sing a song for us?
Yes, I can.
What's the name
right
of
now?
It? Yes, please.
Right now. Oh, okay.
If you want to play your guitar with it, that'd be great. I'll give you
All
a chance.
Right. Cool.
We want to make sure that you know exactly who she is. I think she's remarkable. As soon as I experienced her music, it's exactly what it was. It was an experience. She fine-tuned her writing skills by writing jingles, by the way, for Beat 99.9 FM and other urban radio stations in Lagos, Nigeria. And she also wrote one for renowned on-air personality, and I'm not going to try to say their name, but it's a host of Big Brothers Nigeria and The Voice Nigeria. So over the years, she has cultivated her own sound, and it comes through so beautifully for me. So I want you to sit and enjoy the music of Carolyn Naomi. I just think it's remarkable.
When your mama's not there, when your papa's not there, Nipoloa, Kilonche, Tatibono, Itagono, Tatikogo, Anole, Tatibono, Itagono, Tatikogo, Anole, Nipoloa, Kilonche. To tea, kafi fe kumpa je. Omo eni, usha kole buru to tea, kafi fe kumpa je. Yani wura, baba ni jigi. Yani wura, baba ni jigi. They bore you, care for you, we love you. Titi lai lai o.
That is the beautiful music of Carolyn Naomi. You do not want to miss this music, and it's being released on the 16th of this month. And, of course, you are performing as well.
Yes,
tell us where.
Pimento Jamaican Kitchen. It's on Nicolette Avenue, I think, in Minneapolis.
All right, I'll look up that address. If people want to really find out about your music and what's happening with you, do they go to Facebook?
Facebook and Instagram, yes.
Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. Just go to Carolyn Naomi,
yes,
and you'll find her. You are beautiful. Keep going. Keep doing. And by the way, your experience in your music is very evident. You are not as young as you look, right? You're not old,
no, I'm not.
But you look so young. But you can really
I
hear
get
the
that
experience.
Every time.
Yeah. Great to see you again, Carolyn.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to take a break, pay some bills, and come back in just a moment. It is now 9:51 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And did you hear what the Children's Theater is doing? Well, the Children's Theater Company is proud to announce the production of The Hobbit. Yeah, that one. Based on the beloved novel by J.R. Tolkien and running from March 12th through April 14th. So how do you take the Tolkien classic and adapt it for kids and families today? Well, we'll find out with the two actors in the show, Joy Dolo and Becca Hart. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe I'm on the air with Carolyn.
I'm on the air with you, darling. This is great. Okay, Children's Theater. I mean, that's big time.
Oh, yeah.
Feels great. And you are back. You have been with the Children's Theater
before. Yeah, this is my fourth time with the Children's Theater and my second time working with the director, Greg Banks.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
He must love your work, darling, because you're back.
Yes. And he he's from the UK, so he always brings these really interesting takes on stories.
Yeah.
The last thing I did with him was Pinocchio, and that was a show done with four actors and like ladders and industrial equipment and just told to the audience like as painters. It was really interesting.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Becca, you've actually been in The Hobbit before, haven't you?
No, I've never been in The Hobbit.
It's your first Hobbit.
Oh,
first Hobbit.
Oh my God.
And it's my first time at CTC, and funnily enough, the first CTC show I saw was Pinocchio.
Well, would you look at that?
With Miss Joy Dolo in it.
Oh. Did you like it?
I did like it.
Right answer, darling. Yes. Right answer.
We're going to be good friends.
Okay, so here you are bringing The Hobbit. This is big deal because this is like legendary,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. This
iconic.
Is a classic.
It's a classic.
Yep.
We know the work. The children who didn't know the work that are coming will know the work,
oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so how do you prepare for the roles that you're in? And first of all, tell me the roles that you're in.
Whew, all of them?
Yeah, so it's five actors doing the entire story.
The entire story.
The entire story. Right. So I play Joy Dolo. I play Gandalf. I play Gollum. I play Bomber, one of the dwarves. I play the Elven King and a guard and some other ensemble pieces.
Oh, you
as
got
well.
The goodies, girl. Mm-hmm. You got the good ones.
I got to school early, girl.
You did. What about you, Becca?
Well, I play one of the dwarves. I play a goblin. I play a troll. I play a human. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. One actor plays Bilbo, the Hobbit.
Okay.
And then the rest of the four of us are literally scampering around all over the stage, just filling in the rest of the story.
Yeah, okay. And we have other beloved characters in there. We have Smaug, which is the big dragon that eats everything, and a lot of stuff from the movie Adventures.
And what about Sméagol? Is he in it?
That's
Gollum. That's this lady Gollum, right here. Yeah, and it is a good scene.
Yes, it's terrifying, I think.
You know, how do you cover all that is The Hobbit? In what? How many minutes are you guys doing this?
It's about an hour 45.
Hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah. We do it really quickly. There's a lot of adventures that we get to, but instead of delving deep into each adventure, you have a blip, a moment, and a relationship that's just kind of highlighted, and then we move on to the next thing. The first act, especially because we have to go through all the memorable things of Mirkwood and the spiders and all of these really iconic scenes that everyone remembers from the books and the movies, and we just got to take a moment and dip in it and then move on,
And there'll be those that say, wait, you're moving too fast.
Exactly.
Wait,
you forgot my favorite part. And it's like, sorry, we got to get to the dragon.
You know, if we had like 7 hours, we could do the entire book front to back.
You might have some time, girl. Look,
some of
Mama would be up and gone. Just need you to know. Up and gone.
After the fourth intermission.
You know, the people who watch those movies back to back to back, right? I'm just not one of them. I just need you, because it's a lot to take in.
It's a lot. But I will say, for the fans that do come and watch, we highlight all of the great moments that you remember from the book and from the movie.
Excellent. Becca, how do you prepare for this, honey, with all of these roles?
Oh my gosh.
Are you changing costumes and all of that too?
Yeah. Well, we have base costumes.
Right.
And then whenever we
add
turn into like something else, we just like, you add a special little thing. Like you add a certain hat, you add a certain jacket.
Yeah.
And so you really just got to kind of like drop in to whatever physicality that creature has, or just really know what that wizard has in mind or what that troll is going through. And you kind of just got to ride the wave until the next scene where you're all of a sudden you're a different animal.
So did you watch the movie in order to prepare, or did you read the book?
I really thought about going back and reading the book. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder if I should go and really delve into that original story or kind of work with what we were creating there. And I did. I flipped through some of the older illustrations of it. And just the text that Tolkien uses is just, it drops you into that fairy tale land immediately, but it's also this land of danger and this land of bravery. And so just getting ready to bring the audience on that epic journey is kind of what I was preparing for. Mm-hmm. I thought about it a lot.
And who are the other actors?
The other actors in the play are beloved children's theater, Reed Sigmund and Dean Holt.
Oh my gosh.
They're both in
it. What?
Yes, it's beautiful. And then H. Adam Harris, who plays Smaug and other characters.
Wonderful, lovely local actor.
Yes,
amazing.
And also, speaking of preparation, H. Adam is who I prepared with because he knows everything
about
The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everything.
He's the person we ask when, okay, when this character left, what did they go do? And he's like, they went and they fought a battle and they went and they did this. He knows all the pronunciations. He's like our little
dramaturg.
Dramaturg, exactly. Yeah. So here you are presenting this piece, preparing for it, right? It has to be exhausting on certain days.
Oh my God.
I mean,
Yeah, we're doing The Hobbit in an hour and 40 minutes. So by the end of this run, I'm going to have six-pack abs. Like,
right.
We are running for an hour and 45 minutes. It's like, now I'm a troll. Now I'm a dwarf. Now I'm a wizard. Ah! Do you like it, kids? Do you like it?
Right.
And, so, yeah, it's incredibly exhausting. And not only that, the language, the way that Greg Banks wrote this is incredible. But one thought is shared between five people. So we all are sharing different
parts. One thought is shared between five people?
Yeah.
Explain.
There's some sentences that we break up and one person has a thought, one other person has a thought, and that connects the entire sentence or the entire paragraph.
Yeah, or paints the whole picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. So, it's incredible.
So it's hard
so timing, of course. I mean, timing in theater is always incredible, but for something like this in an hour and 45 minutes with no intermission or intermission?
There is an intermission, yes.
Oh, really? Okay, so are there still tickets available?
Yes there is.
Okay, so people, if you want to go see this, look, you got to go to Children's Theater with a T-R-E at the end, childrenstheater.org, or you can call the box office, which I used to know it by heart. Anybody know it?
Ooh.
No? Anybody know it? Okay, I'll come back.
612-874-0400.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes!
That's
prepared.
What I'm talking about.
So
she's prepared.
Prepared.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, ladies.
Thank you
Good
so
luck.
Much.
I'm coming to see y'all because you're crazy.
Oh.
You're insane. All right, that's all we have for Center Stage. We'll be back with the Mom and Michael Hour in just a moment.